today on Real Radio.
Christianity is not a self-centered faith. It is a faith that looks beyond who we are. In fact, it's the exact opposite of man-made religion and the world's pursuits.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Church, Jesus Style, Part 1, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6 today. We cannot be saved from our sin just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in Him. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul warns us that those who do not live by the Holy Spirit, but gratify themselves in all manner of sinful desires, will not inherit the kingdom of God. In chapter 6, Paul now shows us what a church should look like. The church is to be a family centered on others, a living body that finds fulfillment not in gratifying ourselves, but all those who are in the body of Christ. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Christianity is a faith centered upon others. Our message should sound and look and feel like Jesus. And when a believer is overtaken in a sin and repents, we are to lovingly restore them back into fellowship. And now in his lesson called Church, Jesus Style, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Turn, if you would, to the book of Galatians. We enter in now into chapter 6, and what a chapter of the Bible this is. This portion of Scripture we will take carefully, prayerfully. We will intentionally take it slowly because of the magnitude of what it all means. Oh, there's no one within the hearing of this message right now that can go without Galatians chapter 6. Nobody. We have to have it. Specifically, the verses before us, Galatians 6, verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren," you ought to circle that, "if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Verse 5, "For each one shall bear his own load," or his own burden. We're going to look this morning at Galatians 6, verse 1. And by God's grace, we will cover verse 1. And I say that without joking or making fun because of our slow and caterpillar-like pace through the book of Galatians. I say it because of the magnitude of the meaning that verse 1 holds for us. If you're taking notes this morning, jot it down if you would. It's a good thing to take notes. You retain better what the Lord is teaching us. The title of the message this morning is Church, Jesus Style. And that's an important topic. That's an important title. How should a church be? What should a church look like? What should a church that Jesus would attend feel like, look like, be like? We need to know. And then once having looked into the Word of God, we need to do that thing. Amen? Very important. Church, Jesus Style. Verse 1, we will learn this, that if there's going to be a church, if we are going to be a church, Jesus style, we need to understand one very important point, and that relates to verse 1, and it is this. It's a family of others. That's who we are. The great founder, in fact, tremendous man of God, the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, General Booth, they called him, of the Salvation Army, committed to the souls of the lost. It was General Booth who said that Christianity is a faith based upon the welfare and the benevolence of others. That's a great statement. In fact, there was a congress that he was supposed to meet before, an international congress of soul winners for Christ back in the 1800s, and he was sick. He couldn't make it. So he sent a special announcement, and they made the announcement, we're going to be opening up a greeting. He's sick. He can't make it. And everybody hushed in the auditorium. They were silent. And as that letter was opened up, they expected to read some incredible writing of the great General Booth of the Salvation Army. And they opened it up, and this is all it said. Are you ready? It said, others. That's all it said. And that set the tone for the entire conference, because from there they went off and taught and preached and discipled one another in our faith. And our faith is the benevolent outreach to other people, the blessing of others. Christianity is not a self-centered faith. It is a faith that looks beyond who we are. In fact, it's the exact opposite of man-made religion and the world's pursuits. We know this. We know this, don't we? That the world's pursuits say, come and get me, come and buy me, drive me, wear me, spray me on, whatever. The world says, come and invest in me, and you'll have meaning, you'll have purpose, and you'll have a direction in your life. It's amazing how the world is constantly sucking people toward it. For what purpose? That one person, namely that person, namely self, namely me, would be the most comforted, the most blessed, the most this, the most that in all the world. And it's funny because if we pursue that, we wind up empty. We wind up having millions and millions of dollars. We wind up having all of these things that we own, all these things that we play with, but we're empty on the inside. And that's not Christianity. Christianity, Jesus, knowing that that is the path of destruction, though it looks really good. You guys, I have an image in my mind. I can't get away from it. I was committed to not mention it. But having got back last night from New York City, I've been there all week, and it is the city of self. Madison Avenue, Fifth Avenue, Broadway, Times Square, everything that can titillate and excite the senses. Everything's there. You name it, it's there. And how empty and sad. There's people driving by in Bentleys. You know what a Bentley is? They're only about $300,000. Ooh, really? Mm-hmm. All kinds of clothes. I saw a t-shirt with three little buttons on some side that's created by some guy. A t-shirt. $200 for a t-shirt. Why? It's just a t-shirt. But you can say, I have a three-buttoned $200 t-shirt. That if you don't guard it, your kid's going to use it to, like, you know, wipe his bicycle down with or something. The world. Private yachts. They're in Battery Park. These private yachts going by of enormous size. And that's, it was so amazing. We're standing there, and this yacht goes by, and they got their martinis, and they're standing there. It's like a movie. I thought it's got to be a movie. It can't be real. And you say, oh, but Jack, wouldn't it be cool? I think it'd be cool. The martini part doesn't excite me, but it would be fun to be on a boat like that until you get it back to the dock, and then it's like, you know, if I was on a boat like that, they would say, okay, now, Jack, it's time for you to clean the boat. But after a while, I mean, you got to go from one thing to the other. Well, listen, Church Jesus style, Church Jesus style never has to apologize. It never has to bend or succumb to the pressure of the world to create a church that draws the world in. Hey, look, we're like Madison Avenue. Da, da, da. Hey, look, we're like Times Square. Hey, look, we're like fill in the blank. No, we can be different because our God is not of this world, for one thing, and he has delivered us out of this world. It doesn't mean that we can't have things. It just simply means now that we don't love things. We use things to bring about purpose for God's glory. I love that. God wants to use us to bring about his glory. And how is his glory seen? It is seen by us focusing on the lives of others. And it's in that very area, people, that you and I will find ultimate fulfillment. Do you really want to be happy? I do not apologize in using that word, happy. You want to be happy? Find out how incredibly happy you can become when you begin to focus on benefiting the lives of others. You become so fulfilled. That's why so many famous people in the world are getting involved in philanthropic outreach, because they are not fulfilled. But you don't have to be rich to be fulfilled. All you have to do is be willing to love others. How do we do it? Well, Galatians 6, verse 1. He says, brethren, if any man, is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. This is the verse we're going to look at this morning. So first of all, the word brethren, you need to mark that down. Brethren, brothers and sisters, those who are in the body of Christ. So note this, brethren is a term of endearment. It flies in the face, mark it down, of verse 21 of chapter 5. Oh, be encouraged by this. Look at chapter 5, verse 21. It says in the 21st verse, remember it gives that list, those that are involved in envy and murder and drunkenness and revelry and the like, Paul said, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things, this is their way of life. It's what they do week in, week out. This is the way they live. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Strong statement. He makes it very clear that this is the work of the flesh. He's talking about, and I'm going to ask you to do something in your Bible that maybe you don't always do, but you ought to highlight or circle the word brethren in chapter 6, verse 1, and draw a line up to verse 21, and circle the word those who practice. Why is that important? Any Bible students in here, listen up. The those of chapter 5, verse 21 are different than those of chapter 6, verse 1. Whoever they are of chapter 5, 21, they are not those of chapter 6, verse 1. Did you get it? Hey, you're getting kind of technical on me so early in first service. Oh, it's very important. Why? Because he's teaching us by contrast. He gives the list of the works of the flesh. Then he says, brethren, chapter 6, verse 1. Hey, I'm talking to somebody else. Those who are really Christians. The living body. Can you jot it down? Verse 1, this first word teaches us that the church is to be a living body. When it says brethren, it's male and female, boy, girl, adult, body of Christ. The church, it's alive. It's so alive. It's so full of life that what he's teaching us here by contrast is that there's the fruit of the living church, the fruit of the Spirit, and there's the works of legalism that he's been addressing through this entire book. Now, you might want to jot this verse down, and kind of goes with the announcement today regarding this assembly bill. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, by the way, I'm going to read this. This is exactly how it appears in the Bible, and I want you to be careful what you feel and what you think. Are your feelings and your emotions being shaped by the world or by the teaching of the Word of God? You're going to find out in a second here. And how you respond to this. This is Bible, 2,000 years old and beyond. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, do you not know that the unrighteous, those who practice unrighteousness or godlessness, will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, those are people that are running around, as we've learned last time, they're having sex with people outside of marriage. They think it's okay. Well, TV says it's okay. Magazines say it's okay. God says it's not okay. Well, God's kind of old. He needs to get with it. Well, God knows better, and he knows what it does to your soul and your mind, let alone your physical body. Sex outside of marriage is destructive. I'm sorry, I'm laughing because in our last teaching, we talked about adultery, and we talked about also how husbands and wives need to be together physically. Remember when I said that? Did I say that in the first service? I don't remember. It was a whole week ago. But we had the baptism last Sunday. Remember that after service? Had a great time. I hope you did too. And that was a lot of fun. I couldn't believe how many people pulled me off to the side of their little campsite at the beach and said, can you reiterate what you said? Sunday about husbands and wives being together physically. Now, I don't know if I said it. Every service on Sunday is a little bit different. I don't stick too much to my notes, which is sad for you, but I said in Scripture, as it teaches, that husbands and wives should not suspend sexual activity one with another, the Bible says, except for what? Fasting and prayer. Only that. And then quickly, come back together again. It says, lest Satan come and tempt you. And so I said, as a husband and wife in the Christian context, and I love to say this because it always freaks people out, but truly in the Christian context, a Christian husband and wife should not stop having physical contact sexually with each other except for fasting and prayer. In other words, we should be the most active of all people in the world. Our God made sex. He made us. He did the wiring. I mean, look at the wiring. Even the wiring tells you. It's obviously, the Creator knows what He's doing. There's certain parts that aren't supposed to go to certain parts. He made them male and female. And it's a great thing. And husbands and wives, are they're just supposed to be together all the time, except for fasting and prayer. Now, I said that, I think, maybe it was third service. I mean, you guys are looking at me saying, he didn't say that. I could have had a whole different week if you would have said this sooner. Because in the service, as I mentioned it, you can see the husbands going, honey, we're going to make this church our church home. Fornicators, that's people having sex outside of marriage. Idolaters, that's worshiping things. Adulterers, that's having sex with married people. Nor homosexuals, oh my goodness, yes, it's in the Bible. And Senate, the Congress, the state is going to attack that because we're living as it was, Jesus said, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But the Bible says it. It's wrong. And by the way, I had a friend who died of AIDS, a dear friend of mine who died of AIDS. He was a homosexual. I loved him. He loved me. And he knew that I loved him. And we knew each other for years. And he told me before he died, he said, Jack, I'm going to tell you, from a homosexual, don't let anybody ever tell you that my lifestyle is gay. It's pathetic and I hate it. And I got caught up into it and I couldn't get out of it. And he died of AIDS. Good friend of mine. Broke my heart. Nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous people, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such, listen, 6:11, and such were some of you. Isn't that awesome? The church that Paul was speaking to, hey, some of you fell into various of these categories. Such were some of you. Listen, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that awesome? John 5:24, the church is a living body and we're to love. John 5:24, most assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you that he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Isn't that great news? Man, do you find yourself getting hit inside your conscience by some of these words that I've read? Hey, such were some of you. Such in conduct, either in mind or in deed, was I. But we were washed, but we were made right before God through Jesus Christ. The church is alive. When the Bible says brethren, always mark it because that means, listen, it means you and me and the people around us. We are alive. God help us if we're a church that parks our car, we run into a building, sit down, and then run out, and we never interact. That would not be a church. I don't know what that would be. It would be a freak, though. It can't be called a church. We're to know. We're to love. We're to exchange life with each other. The church is living. It's to be a living body. That's how we love on others. It's tremendous. I pray often that God would baptize you with this mindset of getting to know one another. I pray this a lot, because it's possible, though this auditorium is not all that big, it is possible that Richard over here to my right may not be able to meet up with Mark on my left, and they may not even know any other. They may not know that either other exists. But you know what? During fellowship time, and you know, I'm so glad that the new church is getting, you know, up there and stuff, because we're going to have so many areas where we can gather together and meet after service. Even while second service or third service comes in, we can still hang out in fellowship under the trees or in the courtyard or at any one of the kiosks or whatever in fellowship. The design of the church was created in such a way because you guys are alive. If we wanted it any different, assuming you were dead, we'd make the thing look like a coffin. You could come in and lay down, get a little transfusion, and then get up and go. No, the way the building was built was to encourage you interacting with one another. There's going to be grass areas in the courtyard, and there's going to be soft music playing, and the trees. What? What's the trees for? Honestly, that you might stand under the shade and fellowship with one another. What's the grass for? So that you would sit down and talk to each other, or maybe the young people would like to pluck their guitars and sing songs in that area. Well, what are the barbecues out there for? So you'll fellowship after service with each other. What are all the exits for? So you can spend more time fellowshipping and then get out with a hurry. Not have to wait forever to get out of the place, you know. All built to fellowship. I love it. The church is alive. And listen, the second consideration is this. The church is a loving body. How so? Can you mark it? Don't raise your hand. Are you visiting today? Do not raise your hand. We're glad you're here. But personally, visit churches. And visit them a few times. Don't visit them once. Visit them a few times and begin to take its pulse. Take the pulse of the people. Are they loving? If they're not loving, go find a church that's loving. Biblical first, of course, but loving. Why? It says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. First of all, let's look at the word overtaken. The church must be loving because the word overtaken here implies to every one of us, and it means this. It means to be taken by surprise, to be knocked off the path. Ever been knocked off the path? It means to fall into a lapsed state or a deviation. Unintentionally is also implied here. To be deceived. Very powerful. Overtaken. To fall to the attack. The word trespass here means to sideslip. What's a sideslip? Interesting, the word is not backslide. It means to sideslip. What does sideslip mean in the Bible? It means a willful or unintentional sin. It means to fall or to fault or to offend God or someone else. It means to trespass, which you know what that means, to cross over the fence, to go over the line.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Church Jesus Style, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and let us love one another as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Church Jesus Style, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light in a world that preaches a false gospel of works. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. It's by Alfred Edersheim. Now, this book is one of the best known and, quite frankly, one of the most important references on the life of Christ that's ever been written. This classic work successfully portrays the streets, the marketplaces, the religious conflicts, the people, and the places that pertain to the earthly ministry of Jesus. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the Book of the Month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. Hey, did you know that we post a brand new Real Life TV program every Friday morning? Great sermons from Pastor Jack brought to you every Friday. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the Watch tab. Join us for the Real Life TV program every Friday morning. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.